This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Now in its 19th year, SAC San Antonio has been working with local teens and tweens after school, giving them a grounding in art and self-expression. Once home to 8 students from 1 high school in San Antonio, the art organization is now a hub of creativity and results. Today, nearly 200 middle and high school students are enrolled. And here's the kicker. 100% of its students are graduating high school and have been accepted into college. That has captured national attention, including attention from the Wallace Foundation. We're talking about SAC this half hour and how they are using arts to keep kids interested in learning when they're most tempted to drop out of school. With us this half hour, Ashley Perez. She is a graduate of SAC. She's now a visual arts instructor at SAC. John Hinojosa, he's the executive director of SAC. And Denise Montgomery, she's a lead author of a report on SAC from the Wallace Foundation that says, SAC, it's a white paper, something to say, released today, acknowledging the results of SAC San Antonio. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having us.
And our phone lines are open. You can give us a call. That number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So John Hinojosa, Executive Director of SAC San Antonio, when you meet someone for the first time, they have never heard of SAC, how do you kind of get them up to speed really quickly about what it does?
The sort of elevator speech. The focus for us is creative youth development, that we find young people that, because of a whole bunch of different reasons, aren't getting the kind of opportunities in the arts in public schools anymore. And what we do is we become their place of belonging, their community. They not only find other young people who have the same kinds of interests, but they also find their passion in life. And so that's really who we are and what we do. And we do that in a multidisciplinary kind of way, because every student looks at life differently and learns differently. So we have multiple different kinds of fine arts programs as part of the umbrella organization of SAC.
And SAC is located at Probant, South Alamo, right there near Blue Star, across from the flour mill.
That's correct.
And so a lot of people are familiar with it, may have seen it, and there's a lot of beautiful art, great self-expression happening there all the time.
Yeah, you know, it's really exciting because we are in the heart of the Arts District of San Antonio. The Blue Star Southtown area is one area where there's a whole bunch of things going on. And being there and allowing our kids to be exposed to that art is an important part of it. But even more importantly, we have really this beautiful state-of-the-art facility that is for and about our students. And so when people come to the corner of South Alamo and Probrandt, what they see is some amazing work done by really strong, creative young students in San Antonio.
So, Denise Montgomery, you're working with the Wallace Foundation. You did this report on Something to Say. What did y'all come up with? What did y'all see?
Well, what we saw is that best practice youth development arts organizations, including SAC, have come to practice a number of principles that are really generating results. So, as a research
results
team,
is the key word here.
It is, and making a difference in the lives of young people. And we were specifically interested in learning more about SAC and from SAC because of their incredible success in retaining participation. So 95% of the middle school students who become involved in SAC continue on into high school, and that's an astonishing number. So we learned about the peer mentorship that goes on and how high school students are mentoring the younger middle school students, about the culminating events like exhibitions and screenings that provide focal points for young people's participation. And we saw the incredible, inspiring space, too.
Right. But it doesn't seem like that revolutionary. Create a space where after-school kids can come and do self-portraits with pastels and stuff. I mean, what's so different?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we asked these best practice organizations across the country, what's in your secret sauce? What makes you so successful? And the most common answer by a wide margin was hiring practicing professional artists. So this is important because young people want to learn skills, and especially tweens and teens. They don't want to just do arts and crafts projects.
It's busy time.
Exactly. Yeah, they want to learn, and they're drawn to people who have real-world experience. So the professional practicing artists as instructors, that's a key element that we learned about.
Well, let me ask you, Ashley, you're a graduate of SACE.
Yes, I am.
And now you are a visual arts instructor there. So yes. Tell me about what happened the first time you showed up there.
I was very scared. So it was 1999, and I was just a freshman, and I had never been involved in anything like this. I wouldn't say I was interested in clubs or anything like that at the time. And so, based on my Art 1 teacher said, hey, you should go and see this, SACE. And so I took my sketchbook, and I showed them my work and saw what they were all about, and I just stayed. And it's great because it's long-term and it's year-round, so it really has a depth. For someone who's serious in the art. So it's not for a hobbyist. It's students who are willing and need the opportunity to create depth in their work.
So what high school were you going to at the time?
I went to a few, but no one could hold me. I graduated from East Central, so it did take me a few buses to get to SACE.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's quite a
commute. Three buses, right?
It would two, take you two? Well, okay. There's more buses every year.
But so, I mean, you had to, make an effort to get there and do that. It wasn't easy, sounds like.
And what's interesting is that it's not something that my friends were interested in or even knew about. I just went every day after school, and it was something that became a really big part of my life.
So what do you think is in the secret sauce at SACE that's turning? I mean, what would happen if there wasn't a SACE? What do you think would have happened to you?
I'm not entirely sure. I like to think that that I'm just someone who seeks out opportunities given whatever's around them. But I know that I'm at a better place now, and I was better prepared. Like a lot of our students who graduate SACE, they're the first in their family to go to college. And I would be one of those students. I would be in that group.
And so what do you think was this in the secret sauce at SACE? When you got there, you realized, oh, my God, this is my place.
Well, I think the thing is that excellence is a part of everyday speak. College is something that is something that's going to happen, not can you. It's something that we teach the kids from the moment they walk in the door. It's an attainable goal that you should reach higher than, just graduating high school even is just not good enough. You need to even go further. And that includes the projects that you make and the work that you create throughout your years there.
All right. Well, we're talking about SACE San Antonio. They're celebrating their 19th year, soon to be 20th. For the last 10 years, they have seen 100% of their participating students graduate from high school, be accepted into college. They've captured national attention on what they are doing right. This is a model that other communities are very interested in trying to duplicate across San Antonio. Today, a report talking about what makes SACE work has been released by the Wallace Foundation. We're going to get more into that when we come back. We want to hear your phone calls. If you have been to SACE, if your kids went to SACE, tell us how it impacted them. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You're listening to The Source on KSTX, and we will be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. If you want to help develop a kid's self-esteem, help develop their self-expression, they are connected. That may be one of the things that they're finding at SACE San Antonio. It's been around for 19 years, and for the last 10 years, they've seen 100% of their participating students graduating from high school and being accepted onto college. Located at Probant and South Alamo downtown near the Blue Star Art Complex. They're just right in the middle of all that activity. And it's just, a cool place to hang out. I'm with John Hinojosa. He's executive director of SACE. And is that a pretty good assessment?
It really is a great place to hang out, both with our student body and with the public and our constituency. I think one of the sort of secret sauce ingredients for us is something that's come up as part of the success principles that the Wallace Foundation looked at. And the thing that I think works for us and the reason that we are so successful is that we give students leadership opportunity and we allow them to be leaders in our program. And so they help us develop the exhibition schedule and the projects and the thematic approaches that we take, we really put a lot of time and energy in an effort to make sure that their voice is heard and that their voice has an impact on the work that we do. And I think that's one of the successes of our program. We have four distinct programs within the umbrella of SACE, as I mentioned before. And these were all programs that were developed with input from the students. We wouldn't be doing these programs had we not heard from the students that they were an important thing that they wanted to learn and grow. So we have a strong film program. We have a strong visual arts program, a middle school multidisciplinary program, and a really strong performing arts program. And these are all things that we've invested in because our kids told us that that's something that they want to see happen within the dynamics of the work that they do with our organization.
So Denise Montgomery, you're the lead author of the report on SACE released today, Something to Say. What was it about SACE that captured the Wallace Foundation's attention?
Well, initially, it was the great retention, and organizations across the country are struggling with how to retain the involvement of middle school age students.
Well, they show up the first day, and then they kind of drop off, and they don't
have. That's right. That's right. So it's really tough with social media and how a lot of kids have a sense that there might be something else that's more exciting going on somewhere else. And so SACE's success in this area was really noteworthy. So that's what we wanted to learn more about. This was the first case study that we did for this national report, and we learned so much from the organization.
So tell me more. What did you learn?
Sure. Well, some of it relates to the high expectations of young people and how they really rise to those expectations. So there's a sense of having earned a spot in the studio. Young people have to prepare a portfolio and interview to participate. And you know, our understanding is that SACE works to ensure that that's a really positive experience. But there's a pride from day one of having been accepted into the program.
So you just don't, it's not just walk in?
No, it's a competitive process to get into. You know, just from the context of we are a tuition-free program, it doesn't cost a student or a parent anything to be in the program, but it costs them a lot more in time and energy and focus, and that's what we try to do. And the likelihood of what we do, because there we can't accept every student, on average about 40% of the students who apply don't get in purely because of space limitations, not because they're not worthy or shouldn't be in the program. But the reality is that for the rest of your life, you're going to compete, whether you're going to a magnet school, whether you're going to look for a job or opportunity. But it also, what it does for us is it gives us an opportunity when we do that interview with students and their parents to get a real sense of the commitment level from the students versus the parents. Because this is, you know, I sometimes tell people when they don't maybe understand the dynamics of who we are, what we do, because we live in the state of Texas and in San Antonio, I always tell them, and they get it when I say we're the football team for the arts. So in order to be in the football team, you have to try out. And if you get on the football team, you've got to come to practice every day. For us, you've got to apply to be in one of the programs. And then once you get into the program, you have to make an hourly commitment to be with us every day. And then instead of a football game at the end to cheer everybody on, what we do is we have 26 exhibitions, film screenings, and performances a year where we're able to showcase our students' talent and celebrate that with the community and with their families.
So, Ashley, when you were there, was that the process you had to apply to get in?
Yeah, I heard that you had to bring something, and so I filled up every page in my sketchbook thinking, I can't have an empty page. That would be crazy. So I just wanted to put my best foot forward, and it is a nerve-wracking experience, but I think it's a way for whatever instructor is interviewing you to kind of understand where you are as an artist and get to know you and see your level of commitment, like John was saying.
That seems like counterintuitive, Denise. You know, they're making it harder to get in, and they're willing to kick you out if you don't do your follow through on your commitment, but yet they're seeing higher retention rates than places that, you know, don't want to make it that hard to get in.
Well, I think it goes back to that principle that youth will rise or fall to the level of expectations that you have for them. So there's this, and they know that there's a long line of people who are waiting outside the door who love to participate. So they really fulfill in the expectations.
So in this era when we see schools are cutting art programs, and now we're seeing that, you know, the success at SACE, that through art they're being able to actually inspire their participant young people, So, I mean, what does that say about those cuts to art programs?
You know, it's a real gap, and this project is part of a national initiative to try to increase access for low-income youth to arts programs, and especially when we know that youth benefit in so many ways, learning about collaboration, learning about flexible thinking. The skills that they can pick up from being involved in an arts program like CC are applicable to many aspects of their lives.
And so, John, you were mentioning about parents and their commitment and involvement, but frequently isn't that sometimes a challenge, getting the parents to buy in?
Well, it isn't when the kids are committed, fully committed, because what we've found with our young people who are passionate about the work and being part of our organization is that the parents follow suit, because the student, young people, teens and tweens, have a lot of power in their communities and in their families, and once they buy into this notion of they're getting something of real benefit within the organization, what we see is that parents are more accepting and readily available. Our kids have to get to us on their own. The transportation issue always tends to be an issue, but we always have so many students there at the time that they need to be there, and way later than we should be open because of their commitment and passion about it. And what we've seen as well is parents make that commitment in making sure that those kids get to us.
So are the children, are they graduating from the program when they graduate from high school?
Yes. So again, the thing that's distinctive about the work that we do is we're not an 8 or a 6 or a 12-week program. We're a year-round long-term program. We start with young people from the 6th grade, and most of them graduate from the middle school into our high school programs. So we have the ability to work with a young person for 7-8 years. We hire our alumni back to be facilitators.
Like Ashley.
Yeah, like Ashley. And that's the most exciting thing for me, is that Ashley is a great and amazing role model. Not only is she an amazing artist, but of all people that sort of understand the gears and the way that this organization works, being a student makes her even a stronger mentor and instructor in the program. And I love it too, because she's been there and done that, so kids can't get away with the kind of things that she got away with when she was younger, because she knows all the tricks.
So Ashley, here you are, as do you feel like a role model for these young kids?
I definitely want to stand up to the plate and be somebody that they can rely on and that they can talk to. So yeah, I want to be there for them and help them in any way that I can.
But we hear about today's youth, and I'm such an old codger, you know, about how they have all these challenges, and they're, and in today's world, distracted by Kardashians and what have you. Are they coming to the school? Are you seeing them showing up like you showed up? You know, hungry for this, really wanting to fight for it, and this thing, and seeing they're discovering their future.
I think so. I think there are a lot of students who are at the beginning of discovering that, and then there are some people who are in their senior year and just like, this is so amazing. I'm so glad to be a part of this. I never want to leave. And they're already, you know, wishing they can participate in next year's events. But they're going to be in college.
And so are there classes? How does that work?
We're an open studio environment. We have an exhibit schedule, just like John was saying. And what we do is we have a prompt and that has materials or themes related to that, and the students give us their ideas. And they come up with proposals, they plan it out, they tell us what materials they need, we figure out the logistics, and we help them learn how to use these materials and figure out how to get it done in a timely manner and professionally installed in the gallery.
We call it an open studio environment, and the thing that we recognized early on is that students are in a very formal educational model for the 8 hours of the day, and the last thing we wanted to do was give them another 4 hours of a formal education. So it's informal learning, it's open studio, it's peer-driven, and again, it's listening to the students and having them make smart decisions about what they want to do and why they want to do it.
Okay, I'm going to take a quick phone call from Leaf. Leaf, you're on the air. Leaf, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to say from the student's perspective that Stacey has given me so much and just really enforced a different way of approaching the arts. I wouldn't be the artist that I am today if I didn't have Stacey.
Okay.
Just the free expression and the ability to do the art that I want while still learning different techniques and using different material and working with different artists within the space has just been an experience that I don't think I could have gotten anywhere else.
Thank you for calling in, Leif. Appreciate it. So high praise from one of your students. But I just can't get away from this dropout statistic
sure.
because this is one of the biggest problems that we face in San Antonio.
Right.
And we can lick this problem, so many of our other challenges that we have in the community would rectify themselves, you know, that we would be able to be more economically, you know, viable. And so, but do y'all address that directly? Is that some part of the conversation?
We do. And the thing for us, again, because we're this informal learning environment, we found these sort of structures to build into this informality. And the thing for us, again, is it just another reminder. And it's just even beyond the arts as well. You know, we do it in the arts and have a commitment to that. But anybody that, one, gives young people their voice and their place of belonging really will give sort of that opportunity for them to be successful. And that's the other thing that I think if we could only, you know, sort of think rethink the way that our public school model is learned, you know, there should not be a cookie cutter approach to learning, that everybody learns differently and learns in different ways. And if we could look at changing those models in our public education system, I would see an amazing difference in our dropout rate and our high school graduation rate if they looked at those models.
And another great thing about SACE is that you're not siloed. You are integrated with so many other programs in San Antonio. Was there networking? Did you meet other professional artists when you were there, Ashley?
Yes, there were a lot of visiting artists that I had an opportunity to meet, and that's something that SACE does and probably not public schools so much.
All right. Well, great. It was great talking with you. Congratulations on the great success and the acknowledgement that you're getting. And this is The Source on KSTX talking about SACE. We're going to be back after this news break talking about John F. Kennedy. Stay tuned.